The Border Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services, locally owned and operated, and HLAC certified, meeting the highest industry standards. Walker has partnerships with hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in and around the metro area. Walker Medical Linen Services in Kansas City and online at walkermls.com.
I wish his mic was on for that. I didn't even start the segment yet, and Bodker already goes, get that smirk off your face. It's like you think I'm going to try to push your buttons today.
Uh-huh, a little bit.
The best part is we got Mike Bodker in studio. I don't even have to put you already had your own buttons pushed when you walked in here.
Yeah, you're right, I did. Yeah. I was kind of pissed off at last night, so.
All right, let's have it. Before I even push your buttons,
of coming in here and saying, you know, if they can't command their fastball, they'll never be able to pitch. And I'm watching Coar last night, and he has to throw changeups because he cannot command his fastball, throw it for a strike. He's facing, was it Alvarez, who can crush changeups. But he can't throw his fastball over to go get him. And so he throws him a changeup, and he hits it in the left field seats.
Or even close enough to make him
exactly.
Chase.
Everybody, you know, it's like, come on. Can you just command your fastball? It's aggravating because he's got a 95 to 97 mile an hour fastball. If he could command that with that changeup, wow.
Could he command it better if he threw 92 or 3?
I think so, but
then
they're not going
there.
They're not going to. They tell them throw as hard as you can, as long as you can. That's pitching. Just go out there and throw as hard as you can until you're out of gas, and we'll get you out. I don't get it.
It is maddening. I mean, it's maddening because they've
got great stuff, and they're never going to be able to pitch.
They're not showing any signs of progress.
No. None.
They just aren't.
No.
I mean, when you view it collectively, they're not. Maybe the progress will be there someday, but there's no signs of it. There just aren't. I mean, I'm sorry. Like, he walked two guys in addition to getting rocked last night in three innings.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just. Hey, look, the Astros have a good lineup. That's a good team.
Yeah, they have a very good hitting team.
But here's the thing, the Royals play in a crap division. You know, sometimes you do have to play against good teams, too.
You think?
You know, it's the big leagues, right?
Yeah.
Like, so you're
everybody was all pumped up when they beat Oakland two games. I'm going, it's Oakland. They're terrible. They've ditched every one of their decent players, and there's nothing there.
I'm with you on that. And I just, it's frustrating. It's like you almost don't want to break down the games because you do feel like you're just recycling the same talking points every week, because it's the same thing.
We talk about it all the time. Every time I come in here, if they could just locate their fastball, it's aggravating. And if you look even all the way back forever, you know. Well, he's having problems with his command tonight. He's having problems. Every time, it's game after game. Well, you know, he had a little issue with his command. No, he had a lot of issue with his command. There's a big difference. You know, it's aggravating. Really is.
I mean, I'm looking at the division, and like the Royals are 4-4 against the White Sox, 2-5 against Cleveland, who's the one good team in the division. They're 3-3 against Detroit.
But Minnesota's in first place in the division.
I meant Minnesota. Minnesota 4-6 against. So the two decent teams, Minnesota and Cleveland, they're 5 games under 500 against. You know, but then that means the rest of baseball, they're 16 games under 500.
And they play a lot against the Central, but it's just not enough. They need more.
But they're still 5 games under 500 against the Central.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, you know,
I just can't even imagine if they would be on the East Coast, how bad we'd get flocked.
I mean, you think about it, like New York, Boston, Toronto, Tampa, they're all good.
All good.
They're all good. And
that'd be a good battle between them and Baltimore, though.
Well, we've seen that. They went 3-4 against Baltimore.
Yeah.
But yeah, like the game that they blew the other night, on 4th of July. I don't know. Did you watch much of that one? I mean, that was four walks out of the bullpen, mm-hmm. blowing a lead.
Yeah. All right. Bullpen shot. You know,
they're just used too much.
Yeah. Well, I said that earlier. I said if you're going to have these guys go four innings, you better find some more bullpen pieces because they're going to be fried by All-Star break.
What about Greinke, though? Because he was the one guy that could he can command his pitches.
Greinke's, I don't think there's something. He wasn't finishing last night. His breaking ball was throwing it and once in a blue moon it'd bite, but he wasn't getting out there and coming through the ball. He was stopping.
That home run he gave up to Bregman, that was just a hanging breaking ball.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh yeah. Yeah, yeah, even his fastball, he wasn't reaching out and hitting his spots like he normally. He left a lot of balls over the middle, and it was just like there's something wasn't right. Yeah. I don't know if his results
could have been way worse last night.
Oh my God,
if he wasn't smart, as savvy
as he is, exactly. Yeah. Oh yeah, he could have gave up a ton of runs.
But like, if he's not commanding his fastball, you feel like there's something wrong with him because that's outside
exactly.
the norm.
Exactly. That's not normal for him.
Yeah.
That's
something in his delivery.
Generally, there's a red flag there. Yeah. If you got somebody like Zach not commanding, you know, the zone. And yeah, it wasn't like he was finishing. He wasn't getting through the ball.
Okay.
And I was wondering.
Well, he had that arm issue earlier this year.
He had the arm issue, but it was almost like a back issue.
Huh.
That usually when you can't finish, there's either a leg or back problem. It's not an arm problem.
Well, it'll be interesting to see. You've Boddicker's pointed out things like that before we've seen the mechanics, and then it ends up coming true. So we'll see. If there's something going on with Zach.
The rest of these kids I can't figure out.
Well,
they're just.
Well, then Keller is going to go tonight. I mean, he's had some nice moments.
Yeah.
Dude's 3-9.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah. Well, it's like Brady Singer. I mean, man, he can look really good, and then it's like, wow.
Well, that last outing of his was a microcosm. He strikes out 9, but he can't get through 5 innings.
Exactly.
So you see the potential there.
He was in the ninth, the start
time before against the A's.
Yeah, and I'm saying I was so tickled. I'm going, man, this is what we need to see out of these kids, you know. But you know, it's hard to figure this stuff out. We'll never compete if we don't get it straightened out. You can't compete without pitching, can't, you know.
And it seems easier in today's world to compete with pitching because you're not asked to go 8 innings. All you're asked to do is throw 5 or 6 innings, and you can't do that.
No.
That's the hardest part.
Even 5 or 6 aren't enough. We don't have the nasty bullpen like we did.
Right.
You know.
But it sure would be a lot easier if
it'd be easier.
Went 7
but if
innings.
You go 7, yeah, if you get into the 7th, 8th inning, man, that brings and narrows it down, and now you can use your studs pretty
frequently.
Yeah, you can just run them out there quite a bit where, yeah, you're not getting in through the 5th inning. And every time I look up, it's, you know, 4 1/3, 4 2/3. I'm going, you can't continue this. It can't happen.
Well, they have to get through the season. Someone's got to throw. I guess it's more jobs. They're just going to run through people coming up.
Yeah, I sat there and they just keep bringing people up that I'm going, who the heck is this?
They'll just end up having some, you know, I don't know, 60 guys play Major League Baseball this year for the Royals or something like that.
Yeah.
It may end up that way. So they made the big change at the batting coach, the hitting coach, a couple months ago now.
Mm.
And we're seeing some ancillary things that are good. Some more walks. They're scoring some more runs here and there. And things are happening.
Whit Merrifield has really picked up the pace.
But what, you know, they're not doing something here with the Major League pitching coach. I don't think it's happening before the season's over.
No, that's what I said earlier. When they fired our hitting coach, they said, what about the pitching coach? And he ain't going anywhere because he's Matheny's buddy. I mean, it's not going to happen.
Maybe it'll happen at the end of the year. I don't know. We'll see.
I don't know
what'll happen. But, I, you know, coaching a player is hard. You can try to tell someone how to do something.
Sometimes yeah, you can't do it for them. You can walk out there and tell them what to do, but they got
to
do it.
They know they're not supposed to go out there and walk people. They know they're supposed to hit the edge of the plate. They know that.
But some of these guys,
how do you do it?
Heasley was known for us be a strike thrower, and he gets up here and it's like, he's pretty good for about two innings, maybe three, and then all of a sudden the wheels fall off. He can't throw a strike. I'm going, how is that possible?
When you hate the opener.
But no, I do.
But should they try that
no.
more? You don't think?
Well, that's what they're doing right now. Seriously?
Accidentally
doing it. Is it working? No. Well,
but it's kind of like how they unintentionally tank. Well, like, they're not trying to lose.
I
but
guess the point is, when you do it on purpose, that's when you put Brad Keller in the third inning, and he throws four innings and maybe he gets you to the end. Maybe it's time to do it. I know you're not the guy to talk to about this.
I'm not. You're wrong guy, Lebo. Turn the other way. Ain't going to happen.
Look,
you never convince me. It's not. They're changing everything else in baseball. It's awful.
When you listen to people in the Royals organization talk, they talk about the right things. They talk about how the team needs to throw first pitch strikes.
Politicians talk about the right things.
Yeah, well,
and that never happened either.
So then you ask yourself, okay, well, why doesn't it happen? There's all kinds of things in place with our politics that make it that disincentivize it happening, right?
Exactly.
Like, so what? So that's the
they
to
can
me.
Say
like
I'm going to do this, going to do that, but guess what? It ain't gonna happen.
Yeah, and so they're talking about getting ahead in the count. They're talking about not walking guys. But this team is terrible at they're the worst in baseball at throwing first pitch strikes. They're terrible when it comes to giving out free passes. So does that mean that the guys that they have are not listening to their message? Or does it mean they're incapable of delivering on it? Do they just have guys that cannot control their fastball?
No, that can't be, because I watched some of these kids in college. And they were strike throwers, and they pounded the zone. I don't understand it. I really don't. Unless they change something with them, either velocity or more velocity, or I don't know what it is. I have no idea. You'd have to entrench yourself into the Royals organization down there and find out what the heck they're doing to take a kid who was a strike thrower in college and even somewhere initially in the minor leagues, and then turn them into, when they get here, they're all over the place.
Well, you need consistency throughout. The message needs to be consistent at whatever level in your organization, right?
Because
you don't want to come up and do something different than you've done to get to where you are. Because make no mistake, even if you're getting 1 week in the major leagues with the 2022 Royals, you've done something right in your life to be a Major League Baseball player.
Oh, these kids all have talent. Every one of them's got talent to do it.
They've got something. And I think we've talked about this before. I think what can happen many times in sports, life in general as well, but especially in sports, is people with the best intentions want to tell someone how to do something. And they get mixed messages. We've gone through this. There was he said on Jacob Junis, the Royals say that they told him they wanted him to throw a bunch of sliders, and then they say no, it didn't. It's his brother who helped him, and he leaves and he goes and he's having more success somewhere else. I don't know what to believe on the front there. But these kids want to do well. I can't imagine.
Nobody wants to fail.
Their heads have got to be spinning with all the information they're getting from people.
Yeah. But they're also been told, hey, you're doing a great job. Don't worry about it. No matter how bad they do.
They don't get kicked in the ass enough, maybe.
You go to a Little League game
down
here.
Sent Coar down.
You go to a Little League game, and Johnny strikes out three times. Oh, you had a great game, Johnny. That's what they'll tell him. No, you didn't. You struck out three times. You got to get better. You got to practice more. You got to do something different. Mm-hmm. You can't. This is what these kids have heard their whole life. You're fine. You're good. No, you're not good. Everybody is afraid to hurt somebody's feelings. I don't get it. It wasn't like that when you were little, right, Nate?
Yeah, but I understand what you're saying, but I also push back on this a little bit. This is not a societal problem. There are other pitchers and teams that are playing well. And by the way, Singer's been sent down. Bubich got sent down. Coart got sent down. There have been consequences to poor performances for these guys. That's, to me, not the issue. I don't think the issue is that Bubic thinks he's doing well. I don't think the issue is,
Let me say this. I'm watching Bubic pitch the other day, and he throws a fastball. It's 95 miles an hour, right down the middle. That's not where he lives. That's not where he's supposed to be. He's supposed to be 90 on a corner with a little bit of movement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or 89 on the corner, a little bit of movement, be able to use that good changeup. So something's wrong there. If he's popping the ball 95, 96, that's not him.
Right.
Because he can't do that consistently and locate it. They can't locate their fastball doing that. 95, right down the middle. No, kid, that is not you. That's not where you belong. That's not where you live.
I have talked to Bubic a couple of times in the post game, not one-on-one, but in the scrums after a couple of his bad outings. He seems lost. I'm just trying to choose my words carefully. These guys don't seem to have a ton of confidence and belief in what they're being taught or told. That's just my opinion, you know, and I'm not in the clubhouse every day. I'm not in the meetings with the pitching coach and the pitchers, but it just like I operate from the standpoint of assuming those guys know more about what's going on than I do, right? Like one of the reasons I don't like to get into, there was a lot of talk after Monday's game about the way Matheny managed the bullpen. Why didn't he use this guy? Why did he use that guy? You know, and all that stuff. I've never liked to get into that stuff because I've been around a clubhouse long enough to know that sometimes it's like, well, that guy's arm wasn't feeling
good.
He's not
available.
They didn't tell anybody.
We don't tell anybody. I understand that.
Stuff going on that we don't know about, and so I don't operate from the presumption that these guys are morons. And so I keep looking for signs that you can point to that this operation in terms of what they're teaching these guys from a pitching standpoint is making progress. And like, because to me, like if I'm John Sherman, I'm saying, okay, we got all this invested in all these young pitchers.
Mm-hmm.
We've invested draft picks. We've invested time. We've invested resources. And we've placed the future of the team in the hands of this crop of pitchers that have talent, we believe.
They do.
We cannot get this wrong. We cannot screw up their development. And so I want to know, why should I believe that we're not screwing up their development? Because at least to the naked eye, to just a casual observer, it seems like we're screwing this up. It seems like we got a lot of young, talented pitchers that are not getting anywhere. They have a good outing followed by a terrible one. They have a decent amount of strikeouts, but then they too many pitches and they walk guys and they can't get deep into the game. Where is the sign? Like, and maybe there's some deep-seated numbers that could show you, oh, yeah, no, actually. Because sometimes that happens in life. Under the surface, they're making progress on some things that you just can't see yet. And when that starts to come up above the surface, you're going to see us take off. Well, I want to know what that is. Because I'm looking for it, and I can't find it.
Mm.
The only thing you can find is, well, this guy's pitched well the last couple of times.
It's like Petro says, if you squint real hard, you know, you pick things.
I'm losing it now.
You can't squint that hard. You can't squint that hard.
I just, like, man, I hope it's there, and I'm just not seeing it. And you know what I mean?
The talent is there. This is a very talented crop of kids they drafted. And like I said, I watched some of their stuff. They were so successful with what they were doing, and maybe that's an issue that, hey, I dominated, and all of a sudden
I'm here.
It's harder
to come up here.
It's harder.
College World Series is one thing. Major League
exactly.
Is different.
Well, it's like Rex said last night. I don't think anybody in AAA had hit that changeup down the way the opposite way for a home run.
Well, that's why they're in AAA.
Exactly.
Why they didn't get a $115 million
contract. If he could throw his fastball, locate his fastball, he wouldn't have had to throw that changeup to a changeup hitter.
Right.
So, no. That's where we're missing it. I think if you would get these kids and could get them to command their fastball and locate it where they want to, you would see this take off. I really do.
How do you do that? I mean, like, it's like a swing thought in golf. You got to get one thing, and you just do one thing, and you get it going.
There's two things. One is mechanics, and their mechanics are pretty decent. I don't think that's really going to be an issue, but I think it's the velocity. Like Nate said, if you backed off just a hair, could you command it? Yeah, it's easier. If you try to throw as hard as you can, the plate gets, you know, it just gets this big. Where if you back off, it gets back to here. Locate down and away. Try to, you know, Carr threw a couple pitches yesterday that were, one was, I know, was a strike, and the other was borderline. But Melendez had to dive to catch the damn thing. Mm-hmm. You're not going to get that pitch. If you almost got to dive, you're not going to get it.
Eight inches or something.
The last pitch of the game for the Astros was a called strike to end the game.
Yeah, just right, just underneath the edge.
It was 3 inches below the strike zone, but it was
right where the catcher sat, and he made it look good. It was where it was supposed to be.
You got a chance of getting that call when you hit the catcher's mitt.
Exactly.
They're probably not getting a lot of help from Melendez right now. He's not great behind the plate yet.
Not yet. No.
So, and a catcher can help.
The thing is, if you want to get good, with nobody on, block those balls too. He just swipes at them.
Right.
And then he go back to the backstop and he reaches for another ball. I'm going, no, that's not what you do, kid.
Yeah.
Work on your trade.
Treat it like you're an 8-year-old and you got to go pick the ball up yourself.
Well,
you try to block those balls then.
If you work at it, then it becomes easy.
Habits. It's habits.
It's exactly habits. You got to work at this stuff.
Yeah. You're either practicing good habits or you're practicing bad habits.
Exactly. And it comes back and bites you in the butt because he's going to get somebody on, you know.
Like right now I have this bad habit of waking up in the middle of the night and eating two Oreos and a glass of milk. It's a bad habit. And now I can't break it. Like every night I wake up and I'm like, oh, God, I want that glass of milk and two Oreos.
When we used to warm up.
Two?
Sometimes three.
When we were kids, when we play catch, right, you know, getting ready before a game or something, you'd line up before practice. And if someone didn't catch the ball, you overthrew it. You both
go get it.
You had to go get the ball and run a lap around the field.
Yeah.
Well, that made you play better catch.
Yeah.
We used to have
you glove up, you got to hit the glove.
If you don't hit the glove, you got to
take a lap.
So
you quickly learn to focus on trying to hit the glove.
Doesn't have to go pick the ball up. Because they got
there was runners running all over the place.
They're running around, but like no one's on. You're not putting the full effort in to make sure you catch it. I do agree with you. I think you should try to block everything. Like the bases are loaded and there's two outs and it's game.
So the funny thing about that is I remember watching back when Salvi was first catching here. He did that. He would fly
always
in front of everything.
Every time.
And I heard some former big leaguers tell me he's doing that for show. He's going to wear himself out.
He's going to kick.
He's going to get himself tired. You know, get beat up by the end of the season. Just do that when there's guys on base.
Yeah, you got to act like you
makes you a better catcher. Makes it easy when it comes down to a guy on third and you have to block a ball. You know you can get to that ball. And you know what you can do.
Maybe this pitching lab that the Royals have finally built will bear fruit down the road. I don't know. Depends on
who's run the damn lab.
Well, that's the thing.
Jesus.
I just keep trying to see like what is it. What should give me optimism that these kids are going to start figuring it out? Because right now they're just not showing any signs of it yet. We'll take a break. I'm gonna push some buttons on Boddicker. I gave you the whole segment to push your own buttons. Now we're gonna push your buttons a little bit more after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Oh, the American just lost at Wimbledon. Anisimova? Is that how you say her name?
Right. She had another break point there and just lost three in a row to the Romanian lady.
Halep.
Halep?
She lost in straight sets to the Romanian.
Too bad.
Well, get them next time.
I was rooting for
them. I was too. All right, here we go. Boddicker, you ready?
Yeah, he's very excited about this.
This is an article from our guy Jeff Passan, who you can hear weekly on the program with Seren Petro. You're going to pass in that?
I'm going to pass in that.
Yeah. Don't pass on Passan.
Alek Manoah is a man of many opinions, and one of those is that with a gilded right arm and 6'6" and 285 pounds of mass to buttress it, he should throw the baseball as much as he can. But during spring training in 2021, as the Toronto Blue Jays were mapping out Manoah's first full season in organized baseball, they approached him to discuss a different plan. Because of the COVID-19 pandemic, he hadn't seen game action for almost 18 months, and he had pitched sparingly in the minor leagues during the 2019 debut. They wanted to be cautious, careful even. They wanted to set an innings limit, and they asked Manoah what he thought it should be. "I don't think there should be a limit," Manoah said. He wasn't trying to be contrarian. He just doesn't agree with the arbitrariness of prescribed restrictions that over the past four decades have taken the starting pitcher, baseball's marquee attraction, the workhorse, and through a cocktail of fear and math, reduced it to a show pony. "I'm a big effing guy," Manoah says, 24. "I'm as strong as a horse. I'm built for this stuff. I can take some hits, man. If you don't let a pitcher pitch, you're never building him up. You're never letting him struggle. I say this all the time. Let me get my ass kicked. They understand that dog in me. I want to be out there." For most starters in 2022, the dog within is more Pomeranian than Pitbull. This season, pitch counts for starters have cratered to an average of 84.4. That's the average number of pitches a starting pitcher throws.
Then what do you do after the third inning?
10 fewer than the standard that held for decades. The typical start, long, steady, around six innings, has fallen to barely five. Complete games have almost vanished. And yet efforts to keep pitchers healthier by limiting their workloads have been a failure. Arm injuries remain omnipresent, with upward of $100 million in salary this season lost to time on the injured list. Teams' purported prudence in lessening pitchers' workloads simply altered how those pitchers approach the game. They bide their finite time on the mound with maximum effort throws, despite evidence that those high-effort pitches add stress and strain to the vulnerable joints in the arm. Less, it turns out, is not more. Everyone here is guessing, one National League farm director says. Even the doctors don't know. Pitching is just a hard thing to do. It goes on from there. What's your reaction
to
this article?
That's perfect.
Yeah.
That is perfect. I like the kid.
Yeah, so now you like this Manoah kid. He's going to be your favorite pitcher now, right?
Yeah, yeah. Give me the ball. I want to be out there. Back to when I pitched, I've heard that from guys. Put the ball down. You only got so many throws left in your arm. I tell them to go take a flying leap. I'm playing catch. I'm going to keep building up my arm. Mm-hmm. You know? No. You can. Tom Glavine said it the other day. They don't. It's not the kid's fault. It's the people.
It's how they're trained.
How they're trained. Oh, you know, if you do a five innings, that's really good. You know, we'll keep you 70, 80 pitches tops, and we'll get the bullpen in for you. Mm-hmm. No. There's very few. You got your Scherzers and different ones and Kershaws and different that can go out there and throw you eight innings. What if they can do it? Why can't everybody else do it?
Well, there are some special players who have special arms. And I mean, even Max Scherzer's been hurt, right? He just came back last night. But
they limited his pitches, and he wasn't happy about it.
No, he was not happy. Max wants to be out there. I like watching him because he's a dog.
He's a bulldog.
They
kept him to 79 pitches yesterday. He struck out 11. Didn't give up a run.
Yeah.
And after the game, he was diplomatic. He said, "Well, I respect what they're trying to do, but I thought I could get up to 90 pitches a day."
Yeah, they there are special pitchers, special players, and whatever who can just do more than other people. But the expectation is just not there.
But the thing in the article,
and they're not trained to do it. If you tell someone you only have to throw 70 pitches, then you're going to get their best.
It's not the kid's fault. Glavin said best. Yeah. It's not the kid's fault. The thing is, in that article, they talked about max effort or throwing. You know, that's what I'm talking about. Throwing as hard as you can. Get out there and go as hard as you can for as long as you can. You don't think the arm's going to blow up doing that?
Pitch smarter.
Go get it when you need it. That's what I was always taught. Yeah, you don't need max effort every pitch to every hitter. Are you getting a little bit of trouble? Go get it if you need it. All these kids can throw 97 miles an hour if you need it. But if you learn to command the fastball with 92 to 94 movement on the black, and then all of a sudden that 97 becomes easier to throw out there.
And you have to be able to get ahead in the count, strike one, all those things, because if you don't, then you're pitching from behind and you're in trouble.
I can't fathom the Royals not saying, okay, here's the plate. Okay, here's you got halves, inner half, outer half. First pitch, you're going to hit a half. And then if you get a strike, then you're going to go to make it thirds. You go to the outer third, inner third, stay out of the middle, you know. And then if you get 0-2, you just off the plate or up out of the zone or in the dirt. And then you work your way back to thirds again. It's pretty simple stuff, you know?
But it's
all about command. You still be able to command your pitches.
I think there is just too much. This is outside looking in. I'm not in the meetings. I'm not. But if they're looking at cards.
I cannot believe you got to look at cards. Oh, my goodness. Don't you watch the game?
The fielders are looking at cards.
Oh, my God.
They're having meetings about everything.
Oh.
And everyone knows too much about what they're doing. And that may work for some guys. Some guys may want all that information. But just the simple part about hit the outer third. The outer third, now they're thinking, well, I can't throw the outer third to this guy because this guy's this other guy. I got to do this on this. And it seems all very reactionary to the hitter. And you're not controlling the situation yourself.
All the cards in the world can't help you if you can't throw the ball where you want to.
Not a bit.
It's just like the shifts. The shifts are useless if these guys can't throw the ball where they're supposed to.
Yeah, if you throw
to make
the ball,
it happen.
They shift and you throw the
ball.
It's
a waste.
Eight inches off.
Play straight up because nobody can command their pitches.
No one on this staff.
No.
At least. Some staffs can, apparently.
I tell you what, there's nothing tickles me more than watch a good pitcher throw a ball where he's supposed to throw it, and a guy hits it right where the shortstop's supposed to be, and the shortstop's standing right behind him, behind the bag, and you can see his face going, you got to be kidding me. I made the pitch I wanted to. The guy should have been standing there for an out, and nothing.
Well, the shift, look, the truth is the shift works. It does. I mean, like, the numbers show it. I mean, offensive numbers are down all over the place because of the shift. Now, the thing that drives me nuts is how many hitters refuse to take advantage of
That's why the shift works.
Right.
Because
it's like we refuse to, like, make it.
To me, and a lot of people, I talked to somebody again the other day. I said, he looked at me and said, do you watch baseball? I said, it's not fun to watch. He goes, I can't stand watching baseball anymore. I used to love watching baseball. It was fun to watch, and I can't stand it. I won't watch it anymore. It's just boring. It's all strikeouts, and it's all walks, and it's all home runs. Everybody's trying to hit a home run, and pitchers can't pitch, and it's just awful. And it's like, oh, jeez. Yeah, that's pretty much what I've heard nonstop. And you look in the stands, there's nobody in the stands. Nobody wants to go watch a ball game anymore.
Well, they're not watching them here. They're watching a lot of places.
No, it's not a lot of places.
Yeah, they're
not
there.
A lot of places. You could take a handful of places where they're getting fans, and that's it.
Like, you know, if the Yankees are in town, I think they're a show now. People are going to that. I was noticing the other day they were on the road, like, in Cleveland, and the place was, like, banged out. So their fans are coming out of the woodwork again. But attendance is probably down from what it was pre-pandemic still. It's down here big time.
Big time.
Because there was a lockout before the season, and it started late, and that turned some people off. And the Royals have
teams
not
are
been
bad.
Good. And
if the team's good,
yeah,
place gets filled up.
Oakland's getting some days with 2,000 or 3,000 people at games.
That's
incredible.
That's paid attendance.
Well, it might be.
Anybody know what the
people.
Announced attendance was last night?
I think they're in the 30s. Houston does pretty well.
Houston usually
their team's really, really good.
They follow their team too.
Yeah, I mean they're really really good, and they're two other
28,000 last 28,000. Night. It was 33 the day before. I looked at this the other day. They do all right.
There's a handful of teams. It's usually teams that are pretty good.
Yeah, that's still 28,000. Part of the deal is the Royals aren't an attraction. Okay, so like you get Houston and the Yankees playing. It's an attraction. You got a really good team and a team with stars coming in. No one is going out for years here in Kansas City when the Royals weren't any good. Who are we going to go watch? Oh, the Cardinals are coming in. They got Mark McGwire. Let's go watch that. Or the White Sox had all these big bombers, or the Yankees would have fans and stuff like that. And now it's like the Royals are not that team. You're never going to be in a draw on the road, but they're probably still drawing all right in the cities where they're good. I mean, that's the thing. You're not going to go watch a bad team play in baseball.
Back in the day, you could consistently get 17, 18,000 people in the stands, even with the Royals did.
The Royals have had several crowds this year at home announced under 10,000, which tells you that their season ticket base is under 10,000, which is it was probably at that stage, 2006 or 7 maybe, when it was really, really bad. But back when you played for the Royals, a really bad crowd would be like 17,000.
17,000, yeah.
You know. Yeah. But Friday night was always good, Saturday, and then if it wasn't 400,000 degrees on Sunday, maybe there'd be a crowd. But it's down in Kansas City. 100% it's down in Kansas City. Their attendance is as bad as it's been for 15 years in Kansas City, because people aren't going to go out there and watch bad baseball because it's more expensive. You can't draw interest from having wins. A nice portion of the team, the fans of the team, can't watch them on television, so they're not even used to watch them. So they're not drawing interest. They've just been forgotten by many people, I think, in this town.
Mm-hmm. You talk about the Yankees being a draw. They played at Pittsburgh yesterday, and Pittsburgh's bad.
Mm-hmm.
37,000. You know, fans at that game to watch.
The Yankees have these people who are everywhere.
That's a brand. Yeah. But yeah, I mean,
look at Pittsburgh against like the Brewers or something a week ago. It was probably 14,000 people.
Yeah, you know? But then you go to Baltimore, take it on Texas last night, 7,300 fans. Yeah. You know, it's I think about this to go back to the point of this article, and it's a great Passon's just a great writer. So you know he finds a way to tell a story that is captivating and interesting and all that. But, you know, this idea of this Manoah says that pitching's a dying breed and it sucks. That's a starting pitcher that says that. Well, I remember one of the things I'd hear about, you know, like Passon says in the article here, you know, this used to be the marquee attraction in baseball. Like, I always remember, you know, my childhood memories are of my dad coming home every once in a while, I don't know how often it was, maybe once a month or a couple times a month, and saying, "Hey, I got the company tickets. We're going to the game. He would always try to get them when there was a doubleheader, you know, the twilight doubleheader, so you can get two games. And oh man, that was the best news in the world when I was a kid. And the next thing he would always tell me is, you know, who's starting tonight? You know, Gubazov's starting tonight.
Right.
You know, Saberhagen's starting tonight. Now the Royals
Boddicker
had
Boddicker starting tonight.
Yeah,
nobody came out of that.
But it was always like he programmed me like that was always who what's the starting pitching matchup?
I'd watch TV if I could get it on to watch Dennis Leonard pitch.
Yeah,
I loved watching Dennis Leonard pitch.
My first baseball glove was a blue glove because I wanted one like
man,
Dennis Leonard.
Leo was awesome. But growing up, it was it was Bob Gibson and Sandy Koufax and Don Drysdale and Juan Marichal. It was like, gosh, when those guys pitch, I you get it on the radio if you couldn't, you get a game a week, weekend.
Yeah.
But I'd still tune in, we get the Braves on a lot at home. Mm-hmm. I don't know why we would, but I'd lay there and do my homework and listen, especially if Gibson was pitching or Koufax was pitching, and whoever was doing the radio was great. They were just building it up. It was like, these guys are studs.
Seemed like everybody had a full rotation back then, too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, even the third, fourth, and fifth guy, and now maybe it was we were spoiled because it was in Kansas City and they always had a good rotation, but, like, and I remember knowing who the guy that was going to start for the other team was, too. Like, mm-hmm. Dave Steeb's pitching, by the way, this time, you know, or Jimmy Key or somebody, you know, these guys from good teams. And,
You're referencing the old Blue Jays.
I like those Blue Jays teams.
They were really good.
The Royals had amazing matchups with them in the regular season and in the postseason. So those are just the names that come to my mind. But I don't know that we ever bought tickets specifically because of the pitching matchup.
But you wanted to know.
But it was a huge part of the story. It wasn't a part of the story. It was the most important thing, you know, going into the game.
We talked about it last week.
Yeah.
If you don't get this guy in the first two innings, you're not going to get him.
Yeah.
You're in trouble. Yeah. You're in trouble.
But
it's not that way anymore.
Yeah, and so I do think that hurts the interest level in the game.
It does for me.
Because you just don't even know who's – like, it could be any mix mash of four different guys out there pitching today.
Glavin said it. He said, I could have been on a four-man rotation. I did that for half a year. Weaver stuck me in eight bump guys because I was really doing well. And I was gassed by All-Star break. I had 13 wins, but I was kind of tired because my body wasn't ready for that.
If I would have trained,
I probably could have did it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking through here. There are, right now, I think 9 teams averaging under 20,000 fans. And I just clicked back, you know, pre-pandemic, 2015, 16, 17. There would be like 2 teams averaging under 20. And there's 9 teams right now averaging under 20,000. And over half the league is averaging under 25,000 fans.
There is a lot of variables in there, too, Todd. All the changes made to Major League Baseball. A lot of people don't like the changes that have been made. Mm-hmm. And people say, I'm not going to watch it. Why would I watch that? And well, you know, that does make a difference. And I know they're trying to gear it towards younger fans. A lot of the younger fans don't give a damn.
This is insane, and it's crazy, okay? It's not going to happen. But they don't need this many games. It would be – you can't – and they're not going to come back from it because this is – you. The formula is out there. We got 162 games.
And there's
this much money's coming
money.
In. And da, da, da,
you
da,
just
da, da.
Money.
But
money,
if they played 50 games, more people would go to each game because it would be a bigger deal. A baseball game is just not a big deal. The Royals are playing in Houston tonight. It's one of 162 games. Yeah. It's a chance to go watch another game.
But it's important
for the standings. But
that's
for
one
the
of the
fans
things
to go out there and feel like I have to be at this.
But one of the things
is
that takes baseball away from other sports that makes it special is it's a marathon.
Right. You got to be able to.
You
got
to be able to do it.
It would be a major change if they said we're not going to play 100. It was a huge ass deal when they went from 154 to 162 because of the record books or whatever. They got to get their head out of that stuff and start, you know, thinking in a way to get some engagement. And they'll mess this up. If, like, football goes to too many games, they won't be as important.
Exactly.
There's a little balance.
Football's trying to get more, which is money.
But there's a balance. You can't have too many. You can't have too
much.
You can't make the playoffs too big because in the regular season doesn't mean anything. I'm to the point now where I wouldn't mind having two halves of the baseball season like they accidentally did in 1981 with the strike.
For the minor leagues, that's what they do.
That's what they do.
Yeah.
I mean, and like right now the Royals are toast. But if after the All-Star break they were 0-0,
they
might still be toast. but you'd have three weeks where you think you got a chance.
You got 3 weeks. That's great. Thanks.
Or two weeks. I don't know. 1 week. Okay. I'll try something.
This team could go have a good month.
Could they?
Yeah. They did last year. They started.
I don't think so.
They did last year.
Yeah.
I fully expect this team to go 7 games over 500 in September.
Because it doesn't matter at all.
They always, even when they were losing 100 games, they'd go 7 games over 500 in September.
100%.
September means nothing.
Every
if you're
great
out of it.
Once in a while, they have that month in April. They did it back the year the Greinke won a Cy Young. They got out to like 18-11 start, and they ended up losing like 95 games.
Yeah.
Last year, they got off to a really good start in April, and then they went out and they lost the rest of the year. They can have a good month. Anybody can have a good month. So if you split it up and only 3 months matter, maybe you have a good month. And you win it.
Split it into quarters.
Yeah. Shorten the windows, baby.
Can you win a week? Have they won a week this year? I'm not sure.
Their longest winning streak is 3 games.
Yeah,
right?
They're out in the West Coast when they beat Oakland.
I think they've had three winning streaks.
Didn't they get off the road trip 5-4 or something?
They did
like
have
that.
A 5-4 road trip. Yeah. There you go.
Bod, get to babysitting.
That's what I've been doing the last hour.
Some real babysitting.
We've been giving you some practice. We're conditioning you.
What do they call you? Pop, grandpa, granddad?
Well, some of them call me grandpa. Some of them call me papa.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What do you prefer?
Dummy.
Hey, dummy.
No, they're not playing, but they better respect you.
I have one grandson calls me dipstick.
Oh, well, that's nice. You probably call him worse than that.
Like old Roscoe Pico Train. Yeah. All right, that's Mike Boddicker. We'll take a break. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.